help us figure out how to do a hybrid assembly. Chicago is very, very locked down right now, and we're not able to do too many open meetings, hybrid physical meetings. But I think that's coming next, is that we need to figure out how to take the technology off that board and put it on a rolling cart and bring it to the next meeting. Thank you again to the committee for asking me to speak. I am so excited to hear from our next speaker too. She's one of my dear friends that I've met here just in the last couple of months. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Monica. I don't know if you guys ever watched Jennifer Lopez when she's judging like American Idol or The Dancing Show when she says she gets goosies, because I got them. That was amazing. Thank you so much. And we have another panelist who is going to share with us how the online abilities can help accessibility. So please help me welcome Ginger.
Thank you. Let's see. I'm going to try to share. So it's one participant, let me see. So I have little notes so I don't go, I love to talk. My name is Ginger and I'm an alcoholic. So I have little notes at the bottom to try to keep me on task. So hello everybody, and Carolyn and everybody, thank you so much for inviting me to this workshop. And I was really looking forward to going in person because I've never been to Seattle, Washington. So I like to think that I'm there now. I'm pretending I'm there now, even though I'm actually sitting in New Hampshire. However, I represent Area 47, Central New York. I'm Accessibility's chair, but thanks to life on life's terms, I'm here right now because thanks to COVID, I get to bury my dad on Friday, who passed in May, and I get to help my mom battle cancer. So life on life's terms. And you know what? I'm grateful for all of the things I get to do today. So I'm not sharing that out of pity. I'm sharing that because I'm just internally grateful for the journey I'm on today. And you know, this is my topic, importance of online meetings for accessibility. And I'm truly living it because of everything that I've gone through these past 6 months. So thus my topic. So I do want to share that as I do my presentation, please know that I am no way advertising any programs or apps. This is meant to be informative ways. And so we can assist others who need accessible ways to get into AA, because I would never advertise, or we ought to advertise. So to share, this is my first national AA technology workshop. I have not attended one before. So as I said, my name is Ginger and I'm an alcoholic. Many people know me on the TIAA form as Ginger Snap. It was a nickname I got a long time ago. I must thank everyone who worked so hard to put together this 2020 virtual National AA Technology Workshop. I have to thank Carolyn for asking me to be a part of this afternoon's panel. I'm so humbled and honored to be a part of such an amazing group of individuals as we discuss accessibilities. I've been a part of AA since really the inception of this workshop. I recall the first time the area that I got sober in, which was Area 8. So if anybody is from the San Diego, Imperial Beach area or Imperial Counties area, that's where I got sober. One of our members had asked to go to the workshop. I think it was the second year. And he went with such enthusiasm, and he came back with greater enthusiasm. And his enthusiasm for service was so contagious. And well, with everyone's attitude of gratitude for the love of service, I just was like, wow, I want to go. I have to go. But unfortunately, because life on life's terms, I was not able to attend, you know, the years after. And it's funny because my life prior to AA, I was in the military and I was an electronics technician. So I have some technical background, but it's more of like, you know, old school electronics. At times I had to be an information technician. So I did deal with computers, but it was very low key, like plug in the mouse, plug in the keyboard. You know, I didn't have to program anything, though I have always wanted to know more. So like I said, I always wanted to attend these workshops, but of course, never been able to, but here I am at this one. So I'm pretty stoked, really stoked. So here's my story. So I'm a grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've been sober since 7/24/14. I have a sponsor, and she knows she's my sponsor. I'm currently working with sponsees, and I'm currently serving as panel 69, Area 47, Central New York Accessibilities Committee Chair. I'm also part of the Technology and Alcoholics Anonymous admin moderator team. Here's the funny. I was elected an officer for the All Area Accessibilities meeting held twice a month, which I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. And of course, I volunteer in my community back home. I live right outside of Rochester, New York. My husband recently retired from the Navy, and I'm a mother of three, and myself, I'm a retired disabled veteran. So in 2019, my husband and I decided to move from California to New York, which if anybody's ever did a geographical move, that's always super fun. And so when we arrived here, I noticed there was an assembly within a few days of my arrival to New York. And I was like, I gotta be there. I don't care that I've been here for 6 days, I'm going. And during that, the chair mentioned that there was a vacancy for the accessibility chair. And I learned that that vacancy had been so for like a year and a half. And I was like, I could be of service. What's the requirements? And I shared that I had been many a things in my prior area. And so we talked on the side, and he said, sure, you can be it, because there the chair elects it. And what's interesting is I didn't know that my higher power would have more in store for me. So five months later, I'd be sitting in the doctor's office, and congratulations, you failed your hearing test. I now wear hearing aids. I'm officially deaf. And I never thought that that would happen. And of course it happened, because I worked on aircraft carriers and amphibious assault ships. It's extremely easy. And so I have lost pretty much all my hearing in my left side, and I had limited hearing in my right side. Of course, due to COVID, my life had to change drastically, because I can't hear many people. You know, I've tried going to meetings, and if you notice, which I brought my mask, you know, while I'm talking to you, you know, I can be all smiles, and you can't notice, and you certainly can't see what I'm saying. And that's what makes it really hard as a deaf member. I can't read your lips. And so because of that, I can't go to face-to-face meetings, because I rely on reading lips as much as hearing you. I also, because of hearing aids, we have to put our receivers in the direction of the speaker. There's also the importance of, you know, seeing your body language. And a lot of people, because of the distance, a lot of people are kind of, you know, standoffish. And I'm also going to talk about, you know, how the virtual meetings has been more accessible for some of us. And it's not just about us deaf members or hard of hearing members. I'm going to talk about the difference between a deaf member and a little de-deaf member, difference in applications for those like us. Blind or visually impaired members, who's missing. Virtual meetings, who we've gained, face-to-face meetings, and the birth of the All Area Accessibilities Committee that I mentioned. So deaf versus deaf. So Big D deaf is typically someone who was born deaf, and they've been deaf their whole entire life. And they started to talk or communicate via the American Sign Language. So they may not actually speak verbally. Some people are forced to speak verbally, but typically they speak only with their hands. Little D deaf is someone who has a severe hearing problem, or they eventually later on in life due to a medical issue, such as myself. So I would be considered little D deaf. So blind and visually impaired members. So I have a lady that I met in this program who told me she was blind. She had a cane, and she all of a sudden has an iPad and she's reading from it. And I'm like, but you're blind. How do you read from an iPad? Well, there's an app for that, don't you know? Android has an accessibility suite And it's the Google screen reader, and it's included on Android devices. And TalkBack, it gives you spoken feedback so that you can use your device without looking at the screen. Ta-da! Who thought about that? So it's really quite cool, and I didn't know about that. So if you have a blind sponsee, don't you know, they can use technology. So that's a way that a blind member would be able to get into Zoom, and then they would be able to hear us. And so that is very beneficial. If you send them a Zoom link, they would be able to use that to get into us. Now, blind visually impaired for Apple, because some of us are Apple people, such as myself. So you have VoiceOver. It's accessible on Mac. It definitely describes exactly what's happening on your screen. Hover text lets you instantly magnify or select a selection of text. And there's also display accommodations. So you could decrease certain colors. You can zoom in. I'm notorious for using my camera as a magnifying glass because, you know, I also wear glasses, but or we're getting older and our visibility is not the greatest. So that's another way to help accessibilities and technology. So big D, little D, and hard of hearing options. So there is the concern of closed captioning and automated captioning and live captioning. So we have several different platforms. So these platforms reviewed are Adobe Connect, BlueJeans, Google Hangouts, GoToMeetings, Microsoft Teams, Skype, WebEx, and Zoom. So again, I'm not advertising any of these. So automated captioning are internal programs that translate what is being heard to a text. CAR is somebody that's sitting behind. So like maybe I might hire somebody or somebody might be working for me through an accommodation and they're transcribing for me so I can see what's going on and they would be typing for me because maybe, you know, hearing aids aren't working for me or I'm just completely deaf and there's not an ASL interpreter. So CART would be something that you would get for that. So I believe Zoom has that coming soon with the live captioning and the automated captioning since we use a lot of Zoom for our virtual meetings. So who's not here in the rooms? That's something that we need to look at for accessibilities. You know, COVID's happened and we've probably lost a lot of people. One of the things is, I've shared this many times before, is the sandwich generation, right? So I have kids, they're 23, one's almost 19, the one's almost 9. But then I also have, like I shared, my mom's going through some medical issues. So I also have to help my mom deal with life on life's terms. So I'm spending a month here in New England and then I spend a month in New York. So if I didn't have Zoom meetings or virtual meetings, I wouldn't be in these rooms right now. So I would be missing. But there's going to be other people that are like me that don't know about the virtual meetings. So they wouldn't be here. So do you know are they missing? People in physical rehab, maybe they don't have accessibility to these meetings. Remote without internet. That would be me right now. Yes, I'm on internet. My phone, I overused my 15 gig. I overused my iPad 15 gig. God left my brother, my sister-in-law, and my mom, two different houses. They don't have internet just because they don't. So I had to go get a jetpack so I could do this. So I'm officially in remote right now. Single parents who have children, you know, they can't get to meetings or maybe they're not going to meetings because they don't want their kids to be a burden or went during COVID. My daughter wouldn't leave me alone long enough to get to a meeting. So I had to really plan around her schedule. Medical and emergency professionals, you know, they're working long hours. They can't get to these meetings. Who's left the room? Is there somebody that you know that's left the room? That is so important, you know? Have you just not seen them at a face-to-face or have they not gotten to a virtual meeting or they were here and now they're not because they don't like this format? You know, reach out to them if you have their number. And then reach out to those you haven't heard from since COVID. That's another important one. Maybe COVID has caused them to relapse or they're just isolating. You know, this is a horrible time for everyone. Mental illness is, yes, it's an outside issue, but it's a big reason why a lot of us have drank. So virtual meetings, COVID COVID caused AA meetings to quickly shut down in Alcoholics Anonymous. But let's look at the blessed side. COVID gave birth to virtual meetings. I know of a lot of people that have rejoined AA because of COVID. One lady in particular had told me that she hadn't been to an AA meeting because she was homebound. And it had been like 20 some odd years since she'd been to an AA meeting. That is amazing. I know a lot of people that love virtual meetings because they can commute to and from work and join a meeting during that time. Otherwise, they would never get a meeting in. I currently have a sponsee that got sober during COVID. If you think about that for one moment, COVID virtual meetings is the only form of AA they know. No hand-holding, no hug, welcome here, no nothing. They only know this exact moment of AA. That is really unique for those that have never been face-to-face. I love the fact that I can virtually travel to any state or country. Rocketed into a fifth dimension technology. I've had to learn new things about technology. You know, the elders have had to learn more about technology. People that are unemployed who probably can't afford to drive to meetings because they lost their job due to COVID are now able to go to meetings. Stay-at-home parents, like I mentioned, big D, little D, deaf members, this is their preference because they can see and read lips. High-risk members, I have another sponsee, she has emphysema. She can't afford to get sick, so she prefers these type of meetings. So virtual meetings are really, really important. Moving on to the next one. So comparing meetings. So in my opinion, I believe we have four different types of meetings. So we have virtual, right, on video platforms streamed live. We have in-person, face-to-face. We have hybrid, like Royce mentioned. So you can be in the meeting face-to-face with a laptop for the overflow. And then I've seen a lot of meetings where they're parallel. You have the face-to-face going on for like one of my meetings in California that I used to attend, Rise and Shine at 7 a.m., they have their face-to-face going on, but at the same exact time, they have their Zoom or Skype meeting going on at 7 a.m., but they're not in the same room. So I would call those parallel. So I had talked about, oh, these slides are out of order. We're just going to fix that right quick. So recently, like Monica was talking about her meeting, the one for hosting area assemblies and such. There is an all area open meeting for any accessibility committee members or any AA member that recently started up. And it is the second and fourth Monday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I will tell you more about it. And then I have a bigger screen with all the info on it. So what are we doing? So it was established after RASA, Northeast Region Alcoholics Anonymous Service Assembly, and that was in late February this year. So predominantly it's based around accessibilities. We really don't have an agenda. We basically started off and say, okay, what area has an issue you want to talk about? What's going on with accessibilities? And that's the topic we focus on for the hour. We focus on using proper terminology when addressing our alcoholics with challenges. How are meetings accessible, like the four I just talked about. We talk a lot about the checklist and COVID checklist when we're discussing our meetings. We bring in the guideline that is not in the accessibilities kit, which is talking about the conferences and assemblies, which is MG04. We've talked about how to have more ASL meetings because there's a shortage and how to fund it. Should it be the group? Should it be the area? Should it be the district? Have an accessible table at all events. It's not to single people out, but, you know, deaf people or hard of hearing or visually impaired or wheelchair bound people should not be forced to sit in the middle of the room or the back of the room because that's the only chair available. You know, they should be able to have, you know, the ease of sitting, you know, either on the front or the side or, you know, somewhere reserved for them. We want to make sure that all meetings are 100% accessible. It's not just from the front door to the meeting, but from the meeting to the restroom. And the restroom. We're finding a lot of times that the meeting to the restroom is not accessible. And how easily can a blind person or a visually impaired person access a virtual meeting? This is the information for the All Area Accessibility meeting. Like I said, it's second and fourth Monday nights, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern. This is a Zoom ID. The password is Area 45. I think this month I sent out the wrong password. So for those of you that are on here that couldn't get in, I highly apologize. Please forgive me. And any alcoholic is welcome. It doesn't matter what position you're sitting in. And I'll leave that up for a few more moments for anybody that wants to write that information down. And lastly, if you have any questions, this is my email, Leah7AAContact@gmail.com. And I love this little chart, equality, accommodation, and accessibility is what we fight for when it comes to accessibilities and AA. So again, thank you so much for allowing me to share. I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Ginger. That was amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of our panelists. That will bring us to our questions section of this time slot. So thanks everyone for submitting questions. So we'll start with Royce. Somebody wants to know what special equipment is required for hybrid meetings, webcam, flat screen, speakerphone, et cetera. Can you comment on that, Royce? Trying to find Royce on the screen here. Okay, maybe we could come back to Royce if he's not.
Yeah, I don't see him in here. He may.
Okay. All right. Apologies. I should have searched for him first. Not a problem. There's no shortage of questions, folks. So I can move on to a question for Monica. Monica, how long has the Area 19 had the intergroup, or had, sorry, the area office, and what led you to making the decision to open the office?
That's a very good question. Thank you. So Alcoholics Anonymous has been in Chicagoland for 81 years. I could not tell you the day in which we opened the area office, but I will tell you, I'd have to go back and check with archives, but I will tell you this. Earl T. brought the first meeting to Chicagoland, and Earl T. was our first office manager. So I would assume it was probably in the very, very infancy stages. And in regards to the second part, let me just reiterate about the opening of the office. I don't know if the question is referring to right now during shelter in place.
I kind of feel like that.
Wait, okay. I can answer it because that was my question. No, it was more.
Yay.
It was more opening it at the beginning, very beginning. What led to that decision?
Yeah. And you know, just like all of our traditions were formed out of struggles that we were having with the groups, the office was formed out of struggles that we were having with the groups. What's really interesting is that GSO is actually designed after the Chicago Area Service Office. So that's one reason why our setup is just a little bit unique. And at one time there was two offices, and so our archives is actually putting together a book that we're waiting to come out that will talk about the first 20 years of our history, and it will talk all about that. So maybe, Eddie, when the book comes out, I'll hit you back up.
Thanks, Monica. Okay, we have a question for Ginger. Ginger, do you know, can you cover the basic costs for some of the assistive technologies that you mentioned?
I want to say when I looked at the apps, I did not see a cost with them, the two apps specifically. And then as far as, like, I know Skype is free, Zoom we've already talked about, and then the other apps, I'm sorry, I did not look up the cost for them. I apologize.
Okay, no problem. I'm sure that we could research that type of stuff just online. So I'll bounce back. So just for the fact that Royce isn't available, Royce did say, oh, there he is, that there's a white paper that we will, I'll just reiterate, Royce, that we will make sure that all the folks can have access as you offered to us for your phone number and your white paper. We'll make sure that everyone can get access to that. then I'll just circle back to the question that I was going to present to you from one of the members. They wanted to know if you could maybe talk about what special equipment is required for hybrid meetings, things like webcams, flat screens, or speakerphones, things like that.
So for a small meeting, you can use pretty much everything that's in your laptop, the laptop screen, the built-in microphone. I use a external screen at home. So I have a 27-inch plugged into my HDMI. You can do the same thing with even a bigger screen in a meeting hall. And I'm using an external camera. And the reason I do that is if I use the laptop camera, I have the laptop off and a little distance back. You know, my email and stuff is on that lesser things. But what you get is a, you know, I'd be looking away from the camera instead of looking straight on. The camera, I think I bought one on Amazon, nothing special, like $40. Sits on top of my monitor, you know, clips on. Monitors, I'm going to say that, you know, again, if you're outfitting a meeting hall or an area office, buy the biggest monitor you can get. You don't need a whole lot of bells and whistles. And the thing is, monitors have dropped so much. You know, you can pick up monitors dirt cheap, you know, especially during promotion. I think Prime Day is coming up, you know, before the end of the year. They're going to have some stuff you can just order and have delivered to you. And you might want to have an external microphone. I use this as an external microphone. And again, the reason I do, well, not nearly like Carolyn's, of course, but the reason, and like I say, this is a $20 microphone, but it's up forward on the desk closer to me, as opposed to the microphone in my laptop is about, at this point, 3 feet away. You don't have to spend a whole bunch of money, and you probably shouldn't, especially early on. You know, get something together, you know, maybe even borrow somebody's old TV to use as your display, and then show the membership what they're getting, and it's going to be the members who drive you to buy something better. Thanks.
Thanks, Royce. Interesting, Brett from Area 34 just made a quick comment saying that you can also use a projector. Very nice for physical presence.
Exactly.
Okay, so I have a question here for Monica. For your sharing sessions, do you use surveys from your members on topics that interest members to discuss? And they give an example, how can you integrate and expand my 12-step work in today's virtual environment?
So, in regards to the sharing sessions, there's a couple of different ones that I host right now. The area sharing session that I was referring to is open, and we mostly get people from North America that attend to that. I'll do a polling question asking what topics people are interested in, and then just have a running total and kind of move them on. Or, for example, because a lot of areas are going to be going through a third legacy voting coming up, we have kind of created a secondary group. There's about 30 areas that have been meeting every 2 weeks talking about third legacy. We've had about 4 meetings, and I'll be bringing that topic back in October. So I think it's a combination. It's what people suggest and what people kind of vote on from a polling question, and then what is pertinent to what's going on in the current month. The other sharing sessions that I've hosted in our area, we do a sharing session before our area assembly. Our area assemblies begin at 1 o'clock Central Time. At 12 o'clock, 1 hour beforehand, is the sharing session. And that is actually done by the alternate area chair. And those topics, again, to kind of rotate. If we happen to be talking about budget, there's a very good chance that the sharing session is going to have to do with budget. If we happen to be talking about area officer elections, there's a very good chance that that's going to be what it's going to be discussing. And then we do a sharing session for all of the DCMs, the district chair members, and all of the area service committee chairs. And that we also vote on. The second part of the question about the 12-step work, Caroline, I might have missed it. I'm not sure if I covered the second part of the question.
It was they were giving that as an example of something that might be thrown out as an interesting topic. Which I think it is interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a great, interesting topic. And on a side note, one of the upcoming topics, most likely for the November area session that I'm going to do, is about area inventories. Many groups take an inventory that's written in the group pamphlets. And we've got some areas that do annual inventories. It's been many, many years since my area has done an inventory. So that's one of the things that we're going to be adding on there. And that could be a great opportunity to get ideas from your area on what the area wants to see.
Excellent. Thank you. Question for Ginger. Has the deaf community considered using Live Transcribe by Google or other technologies in meetings to get live automatic subtitles?
Ginger alcoholic. So we have talked a lot about it, and I know there is a group in Texas that is working on trying to do that. It's like an inner group in Texas. They're working on doing that, but currently it seems that the biggest thing that seems to be working on Zoom is there's a lot of deaf, it's like deaf open meetings, but it's only for deaf members, if that makes sense. Because I heard about a deaf meeting and I was like, oh, can I go? And when I was talking to the gentleman, he advised only if you speak ASL. So if you speak ASL, then there's deaf open meetings, and that's the best way that the deaf community is communicating at this point in time. That we really are working hard to get closed captioning for those of us that don't speak ASL. Like I don't, I wanna learn it. And I think that's one of our goals. We're hoping, you know, soon to be continued.
Okay, thank you very much. And I think we probably have time for maybe one super fast question. And it's actually come up for all three of you, the presenters. What kind of participation have y'all seen in hybrid meetings? Like where it's actually a mix and match between physical presence and something on the screen. Has it kind of become popular? Are people interested in it? Maybe I'll let you each say one quick answer about it before we have to wrap. Royce first, yeah.
In my case, I've seen more people coming in through Zoom than people coming back to a physical location. Because they've become comfortable with Zoom. And I think there's some fear. I think everybody thinks because we only have 21 chairs, they're going to not be able to get a seat. And so what they do is nobody shows up.
Okay. Thanks, Lou. I'm sorry, I called you Lou. Sorry. Thanks, Royce. Monica or Ginger, do you have any quick comments on that? Monica?
Sure. Thank you, Caroline. So I think there's a couple things. When we started offering the Zoom technology back in 2019, we probably saw about maybe a fourth of the people that were attending service committees were coming in through an online platform. So my area started doing it out of a desperation of avoiding traffic and not paying for parking. And so that was a good thing, right? My comments though today are this. I think we need to keep in mind when we do hybrid, the meeting experience. I have heard groups talk about how we offer a hybrid meeting. We have someone who's holding an iPad or an iPhone, and then it's staring at the wall, and the person who's online does not have any opportunity to participate. So what I have seen in Alcoholics Anonymous is we do a really, really good job of in-person meetings. We've done a phenomenal job of online meetings. I'm not sure we figured out the hybrid yet. And so we just need to be cautious about the meeting experience, because I will tell you, if you're meeting and I'm online, I get to stare at the wall, I ain't coming. There's thousands of other meetings that I can go to where I can have full participation rights. And the other thing is that, again, when we did our first area assembly that was all online, we doubled our participation. We doubled it. So that's my 2 cents and my comments.
Okay, thanks, Monica. And Ginger, do you have a quick comment before we wrap up?
I do, Ginger Alcoholic. So my input on the hybrid is, so because I'm in upstate New York and everything is still fairly locked down and restricted, I've noticed that a big thing is the anonymity piece. A lot of people are still scared to go back to meetings, not so much because of the contact, but the contact tracing that some places are trying to put in. And I don't want to go to a meeting and have to put my name, phone number, and et cetera, because that's losing the anonymity piece. So that's a sticky situation. It's kind of an outside issue, blurring the lines. So I'm definitely going to go with the, I would rather be hybrid on the computer. So yeah, it's a sticky situation and difficult.
Yes, I think we can all agree with all of the challenges around that. Well, thank you very much, all of you. This has been such an amazing panel. Thank you again. And any questions that we couldn't get to, folks, again, we'll do our best to try to get back to you through